the biggest gift that I've learned through all of it is how to love hope. It's how to love myself, because I truly can't go out and love, you know, other people unless I can love myself. And at the end of the day, the mountaintop for me is that I learned to love myself and that I've learned to move in God regardless. So, and I think more than anything I've done, any, you know, awards I've won, more than any celebrities I'm now associated with, whatever, more than any of that, God has put me in a place where I am myself and I can be comfortable and I can be happy and I can create any way that I feel like it and be okay with it.
That was just a sample of the inspiring words you're going to hear from our guest on the God and Gig show today, Hope Sheree. She is a singer, songwriter, motivational speaker, a blogger, host of her own show, but most importantly for us, someone with a testimony. She's going to share how overcoming the challenges she faced both in her personal life and in her creative life helped her to become the woman she is today, confident in her ability to bless others and helping others to embrace the freedom and the unique calling they have to encourage others. You're going to love this episode, so make sure you don't miss a moment of it. So let's cue the intro music. Give me a moment to welcome our newest listeners, and let's get into this incredibly inspiring episode.
Artists, musicians, and creatives of all kinds. Looking for help balancing your passion to create with your everyday life? Not sure if your faith can coexist with your profession? Welcome to a place where real artists discuss real life. You're listening to the God and Gig Show. Visit godandgigs.com for show notes, links, and more information.
Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for making this particular podcast a part of your creative day. No matter when and where you're listening, I appreciate you and I never take that for granted. Especially if you're new to the show, listening for the first time, thank you for taking a chance on me. This show is all about helping you to build a better life from the inside out by applying timeless spiritual principles to the temporary creative problems you might be facing. My name is Alan C. Paul. I'm the founder of this movement and platform and just trying to help this community of faith-focused freelancers, artists, musicians, people all over the creative spectrum to really find their calling and purpose in a healthy and happy and practical way so we can excel at the things that God has blessed us to do, no matter where you do it, whether it's inside or outside of the four walls of any ministry. And that's why I'm so glad to have today's guest on to talk about how she dealt with challenges on both sides of that aisle, made sure to be herself, and how she overcame even more challenges. I don't want to tell Hope's story for her. I want her to tell it for herself. But before we get to the interview, just remember, as soon as you get off this podcast, go back and review it. Go back and subscribe if you haven't already, so that you can be a part of our community throughout the journeys that we're taking, interviewing, sharing stories, sharing inspirational comments, sharing practical knowledge. All the things we do on the God and Gig Show are for you. So if you review the show, you help us to share it with other people, and you've subscribed to the show, you help yourself because you never have to go looking for another episode. It simply will pop in to your podcast feed. So I don't want to take any more time away from Hope telling you her story, how she went from working with some of the biggest artists in R&B to working, most importantly, on herself and for herself and sharing her story the way that she wanted to tell it. But there's so much inside that story. So let's buckle in, take some notes, and get ready to be inspired by today's guest. Here's Hope Sheree. Ladies and gentlemen, if I had to just put somebody's name in a word and then put their personality into a word and it was the exact same thing, it would be my guest today. Hope Sheree exemplifies hope in everything she has shared with me. We're getting to know each other even right now, so you're going to get to know her now. Hope, welcome to the God and Gigs show. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
You know what? That's the energy I need, especially we're recording Again, we're letting people behind the scenes already, the people who don't know about podcasting and radio and broadcasting and artist life. Life does not stop, right? So we are like just pushing through. It is around the time of Easter that we're recording, and I have been knee deep in everything. Well, thank God we have Easter. Thank God we have one that some people may actually be in church this Easter. So
absolutely. Yes. Yes. Thank God. Just in time.
Exactly. So let me ask you first, as I'm getting to know you and you're getting to let people know about what you do, your artist journey, your spiritual journey. There is so much that we could unpack in just one episode. We'll try to do it well. But just the introduction, let people know who you are, what you do, and just tell them a little bit about your world as a creator so they can get to know you.
Okay. Well, my name, again, is Hope Cherie. I'm a Virginia girl. I'm from Virginia. I live in the Virginia Beach area because most people know where that is. Been doing music a long time. Started out in the world of R&B. Wasn't raised in the church, didn't go to church, didn't have a relationship with the Lord early on in my life. My parents were never, you know, church people, quote unquote. So just, you know, out here singing and doing R&B music, out here doing clubs and all kind of stuff. I was on tour with Genuine. I don't know if you remember the Pony tour and all that stuff. Been in the studio, you know, with Missy and Timberland and all that kind of stuff. Been doing out here doing this stuff for a long time. And then one day in the year 2000, something just hit me. I heard a Wild CD and it had like Marvin Sapp on it and Kirk Franklin and CeCe Winans. And I started listening to that thing. And I was like, you know, there's some joy in here. I need to know what they're talking about. And I started reading the Bible and trying to understand what it was. And something just grabbed a hold of me. We had just put out a brand new song. It was doing very well on the charts. It was called The Hoop, kind of risque. And you know, I was just excited about it. And when I started hearing that gospel music, it was like God said to me, it's time for you to come on home. Come go sit down somewhere and come on home. And I've been saved since the year 2000, and I have never looked back.
My goodness. See, just that. I am so excited now to unpack this because number one, I think I just told you again, a little bit of just sharing testimonies and getting to know each other. I told you my path was the exact opposite. I started not necessarily in the church, you know, I was always going to church, but not in terms of ministry and music and gospel. Like I kind of got serious about that in high school, college. But yeah, my testimony was I got my degree in music and then it was like, I don't really have time for this. I got a child already. I got bills. I'm going to go teach. And so I did not enter into the gigging lifestyle, into the R&B world until later. You, on the other hand, started there. So I got to ask you first, you know, your first experience getting into R&B, and you just mentioned all these incredible artists. So what drove you first, or not drove you, that's the wrong word. What inspired you at first and you weren't in church? So a lot of us come through church and then we end up, you know, doing gigs with R&B and soul and all that kind of stuff. So how did you find your way into that world in the first place? Were you singing in college, high school? Like, how did you get yourself into the beginning of the music industry?
Well, I started singing in the music industry as a young kid, you know, always just singing, not in church, but just in talent shows and different stuff like that, you know, in chorus. And, you know, I was in all city chorus and all that kind of stuff. And it's really crazy because I truly thought that everybody in the whole entire world could sing.
Were your folks musical? I got to ask you that. Were your parents musical? No, anybody else in your family?
No, no one in my family sings. My mother can sing, but she does not sing, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And so no one sings. I just knew that I had a voice, but I also knew that I thought that everyone could just sing. So until I got to, when I got to middle school and I made all city chorus and all that kind of stuff, that's when I started realizing like, wait a minute, Hope, you might have a little something special. You know, you may. Okay. And I started doing a lot of talent shows and stuff like that. So and then you know, just out here doing the talent show circuit. I went to Germany for about 6 years, and then I was singing over there. I started going in the studio, just started to really learn the industry internationally first. And then I came back here to the States and just kept it up, just kept singing, doing talent shows, and then got picked up by a promoter to do a couple of shows with Genuine on the Pony Tour. And then, you know, in the midst of all of that, you know, and being in that whole circle, the Apollo Circle. I was a undefeated champion at the Apollo Showtime at the Apollo.
Wow.
And so, you know, and just kind of doing all of that circuit, trying to get known, trying to get people to know me and all that good stuff. And in the midst of it, God just said, stop.
So I got to ask you, because you're in this world, right? In terms of this, I mean, you, again, you mentioned the artist and the level, you mentioned Apollo. So all this is high pressure. All this is, like you said, trying to make it. I mean, it's the 90s, 2000s. Now it doesn't matter. It hasn't changed. Like even with social media, it's made it even harder, right?
Yes,
so I got to ask you, as a young artist and before God kind of arrested you and say, hey, hey, let's look at this. Were you dealing with insecurities? Were you dealing with any frustrations? What was your mental and your spiritual life alike back then? And was the artist's life affecting you in a way that was making you feel like there was something more that you needed to look for?
That's a good question. I think back then, I don't think that it was anything that was making me look for more. I think back then it was the rejection. I was feeling a lot of rejection, not because I couldn't sing, but because I was considered to be overweight. And so I was in the height of my, you know, everything that was going on with me. The music was doing well. People were loving my songs. I write pretty much all of my music. And but my biggest issue was that the executives, the big executives, I mean, I could get all the way to the Hiram Hicks and, you know, to the Allen. I could get everywhere, like, you know, with my voice. But they would say, oh, you know, she needs to lose a little weight. And that I always seemed to hit that obstacle, especially in the late 90s, around that time when Aaliyah first came out and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It was in that time frame.
Yeah. There was a look that they were looking for.
And, you know, and it was so funny that I can say that now, because maybe a year or two after, I just said, forget it. I'm not going to, you know, be that for them. You know, if you don't like the way I sound, if you don't like, you can't embrace the whole me, you know, I just can't do it. Like, I'm not going to do it. And then maybe like a year or two later, Jill Scott came out and then Angie Stone right behind her. And I was like, dang, I was like, God, you took me out the game. You know, right when the big girls was coming, you took me out. You
know? Look, it was confirmation for you even now. Okay. And I'm so glad you addressed this again, me coming from the you know, from the other side, from the men's side, me playing behind people all the time and me actually having to watch that happen. I got to tell you I appreciate you. And for all the ladies that are listening, I have not been able yet to address that issue on this show, but I'm so glad you did. That's why I kind of went there, because there's so much pressure, like you said, to concede, to compromise, to be something that you're not, whether it's your look, your body image, your skin tone. And of course, you know, even the tone of your voice or the way you sing and your artistic stuff, where you're trying to build yourself into this box to be successful in the industry. Yes. And I'm just glad you put that out there, that, you know, that you were facing something that made you say, this is not me. This is not it. Even if it wasn't, like you said, something that was like traumatic, where it, you know, pushed you either, you know, all the way down to a pit or something like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for that. I'm saying that there was something you had to reckon with. And then you found later, and I guess this is where I want to pivot to, is when you just said, when you started to find gospel, which again, I remember finding Kirk Franklin and John P. Key. My church, I grew up in a very, very strict kind of church where we didn't sing any kind of clapping hand stuff. Like we were stand up and sit down church.
Yeah.
And my parents, you know, I found this gospel stuff kind of like you said, and it's like, this is amazing. So tell me what happened, as you said. Not only did you find the music, but you also found God through the music. So just explain a little more how that felt and what changed in your artistic career after that moment.
Okay. Well, once God came to me and said, you know, sit down, this is what you're going to do. I stopped showing up, you know, they were calling me because I had just put a song out. And they were calling me and, you know, come to the club and you got this event going on and that event going on. You need to do an appearance at this and just all kind of stuff. And I was like, I couldn't do it. I was missing my events. I was missing everything. And they was like, what's going on? And I was like, I feel a pulling. I feel something pulling on my life. And I was like, I don't even. And the irony of it is, I didn't even know who God was for real. You know, I just knew that something was pulling on me. And when I put those particular artists' music on, I was feeling something that I had never felt in my life. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to sing for the Lord. And I really thought that that would be enough. just to say, I'm going to sing for the Lord. So I started putting music out, but I was putting music out, of course, that I was writing. And then when I started introducing that same music to the gospel industry, they didn't want me either.
Ooh.
They started saying to me, you're not a gospel product. You don't sound like a gospel artist. You don't look like a gospel artist. Oh, it was, I was hearing some of everything. And I felt rejection, truthfully, from two industries.
Wow.
One of them, I was too big. And the other one, I didn't sound gospel enough. And so I didn't know how to deal with that, because in my head, when you walk into the church, you walk in with open arms and yeah. everyone loves you no matter what is going on. I mean, I thought it was a hospital for the sick, you know, and at the end of the day, it wasn't that for me. I felt a lot of rejection from the gospel music industry, but I pressed on, because what it did teach me was that I had to do what God called me to do, regardless of what anyone else felt about it.
Absolutely. This is okay. So, all right. We're going to have to like unpack a lot here. Okay. So I'm just give me time to like slow it down, because there's so many things I want to go for. First is what you just said about being rejected from two sides, from both industries. And I want to make sure I want you to clarify this for me, because this is something that I've dealt with a lot of church hurt, right? We hear that phrase mm-hmm. a lot, but you're talking specifically about the industry. I want to ask you, is it simply the fact that people had a certain concept of what gospel music and Christian music should be packaged as?
Yes.
Was it that, or was it, oh, well, if you're a Christian, you can't have possibly been involved in that other stuff. So you know what I mean? Am I making sense in terms of the question?
It was more or less like, there's a certain expectation of the way a gospel singer should sing.
Okay.
Especially back, we're talking in the year 2000. We're in 2021 now.
Yeah.
So this was during a time when I'm coming in sounding like an R&B artist, but singing God's words. And they were just not having it. They were not having it. But let me tell you what changed my life. I had did an event one time and I was singing, and Pastor Andre Crouch was there. And he sung as well. And he called me in the back. He said, I want to have lunch with you, young lady. And I said, okay. And we went in the back and we had lunch. And he said to me, don't you ever change how you are. He said, don't change the way you sound. He said, don't change. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who told him that. But he said,
I know. I'm pointing up if you can't hear the podcast. I'm pointing. You know who did, but go ahead. We know who it was.
I don't want you to change anything about you. He said, the way you sing, the way you sound. He said, imagine if I had to listen to all the people who told me that my contemporary sound of gospel was too much. Mm. He said, if I had to listen, I wouldn't be even sitting here as the contemporary godfather of gospel. He said, Just do you. He said, and you promised me one thing. And I said, what's that? He said, that you will never change.
Wow.
And I said, wow. And I didn't know how to process that, because a lot of times, you know, I spent my days, I've been on several labels. I've opened up opened the stage with just about any gospel artist you could think of. I've done your Kirk Franklin, Fred Hammond, Donna McKirkland, Marvin Sapp. I've opened up for any top male gospel artist you can think of. And I've always, you know, have done that. But when he told me not to change, I was like, oh, okay, I see what time it is. And I tried to bring myself back. I tried to sound like what I thought they wanted to hear. I got lost in that for a few years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just trying to, okay, now I'm gonna do praise and worship. Oh, now I'm gonna do contemporary Christian. Oh, now I'm gonna do, you know, and then I had to come back to what Pastor Crouch said. Stop trying to change. Do what God called you here to do.
Isn't that amazing? That, again, I just think it's so interesting that the God that we serve, who was creative enough to make, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, 7,000 species of birds, you know, 10,000 species of plants, and millions of types of, like, you know, it's a fish. But a goldfish ain't got nothing on a shark, and a shark ain't got nothing on a barracuda. Like, there's so many varieties inside.
Yes.
What nature is. And I'm just using another example of creativity. Why is it, do you think, that we, I'm just talking about us as artists, we're talking about the creators and artists, right, who have faced what you're facing, whether it be in the church or whether it be gospel industry or even in outside, right? Because you had the same issue with the secular industry and with the mainstream industry. Oh, we want you to sound like this, look like this, fit this box. Why do you think artists, we keep going back to boxes when we survey God, and I'm talking to Christian artists, who is endlessly creative? Why do you think we keep going back to the box?
It's the infinite need to please people. You know, I think that we want to be, I mean, who doesn't want to be welcome?
That's a good
point. We want to be loved.
Yeah.
We want to be liked. It's just in us to want that. But what we don't realize is that the only person that has to approve is the Lord. That's it.
That's it. Mic drop. And I got to tell you, this is a heavy topic for me, because this always goes, and I'm so glad, again, I knew you were the perfect person. As soon as I read your bio, I knew this was going to be like an immediate brother, sister kind of thing, because I have dealt with, I'm just going to tell myself, I'm 46, about to turn 47. And I can tell you that I did not find that freedom of both creativity and in God's love of who I was, not seeking approval. And I'm still working on it. A lot of prayer and therapy, okay? A lot of both. But it's only been the last 6 or 7 years that I started to realize that I had set up approval as an idol. And I had set up what people's opinion of me, whether it be musically, right? Church is a huge one where I think a lot of people got delivered in the pandemic, because we realized showing up at church every day had become our way of getting that approval. When someone said amen, or someone shouted you down, or someone said sang.
Absolutely.
And then that got taken away from us for a year, for many, many, you know, longer. And yet now we're finding out, you know what, you have to be able to see God's approval of you without your gift, without your talent. I say this in a quote in one of my books, you are not gifted, you are a gift. So I just feel like you are speaking that for so many people. I do want to ask you though about the mountaintop of where you got out of that, right? So let's talk about some highs where, like, you started to see that freedom and feel that freedom. And I read where you have now been able to work with some of those same artists that might have been judging you. You have now reached some of those levels before. Yes. So talk about some of the mountaintops now. After you went through the struggle, where did you now start to see God blessing you and showing you that if you are yourself, you get to enjoy even more stuff that does, you know, feel like man's approval, but it's really not dependent on man's approval? What are some of those mountaintops for you?
I think for the most part, the biggest gift that I've learned through all of it is how to love hope. It's how to love myself, because I truly can't go out and love, you know, other people unless I can love myself. And at the end of the day, the mountaintop for me is that I learned to love myself, and that I've learned to move in God regardless. So, and I think more than anything I've done, any, awards I've won, more than any celebrities I'm now associated with, whatever, more than any of that, God has put me in a place where I am myself, and I can be comfortable, and I can be happy, and I can create any way that I feel like it and be okay with it.
You know what? See, I am so glad you went. Now, I will be very, very, very broadcaster to broadcaster, podcaster to podcaster. I'll be very, very transparent here. There is even a part of my brain right now. This is a meta thing. This is so meta right now, because I'm talking about like how I'm planning the podcast as I'm producing the podcast. What am I doing? There is part of me that always says, well, she had this name next to her, and this guest had this name. And even though I resonate with you so much, there's something in my brain that says, but if you say that you worked on Voices of Fire and that you have, like, this makes you somehow more attractive. And I'm falling prey to the same mentality in the back of my mind that I am trying not to fall into, because what you just said is the key. It has nothing to do with who you've worked with. It has everything to do with who you are and feeling okay with yourself. And by the way, let me say this, though. I will put this little pin on it. People notice that about you. I feel like, I'm guessing that once you start to move in that freedom and feeling I'm okay with myself, I love myself, God loves me for me, then you don't have this insecurity about trying to make other artists, people, executives notice you. Did you find that, that once that freedom came, you didn't really care about, you know, walking into an audition or a church or anything like that?
Absolutely. Because once you get that on the inside of you, everybody sees it and everybody feels it. They feel it.
Yeah.
Because it's like this. I have people that come up to me now after I'm finished singing or whatever, ministering, and they'll say, wow, what has happened with you? Oh my gosh. You know, it's like they see something that I'm just looking at them like, okay, you know, just on the song, you know what I mean? And they'll say, oh, you sing with so much freedom now. And oh my gosh, you know, and the sad part about it is so true. Because when you're up there and you know that people are judging you, you know that people don't, you know, really care about whatever and whatever, I think you tend to, you know, put yourself in a box when you're, you know, doing what you're doing, when you're ministering or whatever. And when you just get up there and say, look, this is me. I'm Hope, flat-footed. Look, I done spent a whole lot of years out here in this stuff, and I'm going to do what I do, and you can like it or love it or not. And you really can get up there and walk off the stage and drop the mic and don't care. People love you to pieces.
Yes. It gives them permission. It gives them permission to be themselves as well.
Absolutely. You got it. You nailed it.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And that's really all people are asking for in this world is for permission to be themselves.
Mm, I'm telling you. And this is what's really scary about this is that, again, you said it, 2021, right? I'm kind of like walking through your career in the back of my mind, you know, from the 80s to the 90s, working with some of the greatest, biggest artists in R&B and New Jack Swing. And, you know what I mean? I remember all these like moments where everyone was like, this is it. Like, it can't get better than this. It can't get better than Missy and Super Duper Fly. It can't get better than
this.
So I remember that's my high school days. So trust me, I was right with you. Now, looking 20, 30 years down the line, of course, we were younger then. I was younger then. You were younger then. But it is scary to think we're still dealing with some of those same mentalities that the church had to deal with and still deals with to this day. I mean, we can look at the headlines and see we're still dealing with the same situations where people feel
absolutely.
Don't find that freedom. So now let me ask you this. I want to pivot a little bit here. You're not just a singer, by the way. You're not just an artist. You're not just, I'm going to go out there and perform and entertain and minister. Now you are also bringing this message through other platforms. And so talk a little bit about how, you know, was that another message that God kind of put in your heart, or was it something that just kind of came out of outgrowth of feeling this freedom? Now I'm going to do more than just grace a stage and grace a platform. Where did the idea for a Hope radio show and your speaking, how did that come to be?
Okay, well, let me back up just a little bit. So, because I'm going to get there. What I did was in 2008, I started getting really sick, right? And really didn't know what was going on with me. I lost the use of my hands completely, the use of my legs completely, kind of walk with the gait side to side, really sick.
Wow.
Went to the hospital. After 4 years of battling, I found out they diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis. So I have 20 lesions between my brain and my spine that can activate themselves whenever they feel like it. Dealing with that. And trying to sing and everything like that. And then meeting the opposition that I was meeting, because I took up a cause of people being sick and not shunning people because they're sick. So I kind of rallied the flag for he who is sick among us. Right. And I started realizing that was a tough flag to carry through the church, because a lot of times people don't like to deal with their own mortality. And so I sat down for 6 years. I didn't do anything. I said, I'm tired. I'm not going to do this anymore. I just was exhausted with it. And then I heard one of my music friends call me and said, Hope, Pharrell Williams is looking for to put a choir together. You know, maybe you should go audition. And I said, oh, no, I'm not putting myself back out here in the rat race. I'm good. You know, I'm not going to do that. And then something said, no, just go. Just go audition. You send your tape in. It's not going to hurt anything. Whatever. So I did that, got a call. They said, they want you to come to the live auditions. We want to see you here, for Pharrell Williams. So I get to the audition. We do all of that. And then I found out that I actually made the actual, the main audition. So we get to the church and we're doing all that and everything. Then they say, well, they narrowed it down to 50 people. And they said, well, this is now Voices of Fire. So then, you know, production is there. Netflix is there. We're doing all the tapings and, you know, I'm on the show and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm like, wow, this is a great thing because I really was done with the music industry to a large degree. So in the process of all of that, dealing with people being sick a lot, going to the nursing homes, ministering in the nursing homes on Sundays, you know, just really being there for people that are sick. I started up a column called adoseofhope.org. And basically what it is a bunch of motivational, quotes and all kinds of stuff, poems, anything that I can think of to inspire people. And that's what I started, putting together on adoseofhope.org. And then here recently in the last, I would say since the top of the year, God had put it in my heart to take that a step further and to encourage people through a radio show. And so I said, wow, A Dose of Hope Radio. And so I just kind of put it together. But the beautiful thing about it is as my guest, I go after people who have a story. I go after people who, like I have people on my show, they have no arms, or people on my show who they're Olympic gold medalists, but they have no feet. Just stuff like that. They're like amazing people who go above and beyond the odds to show you that it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Wow.
It truly is about who you are on the inside and just people who defy the odds. You know, people who have, you know, the doctors told them they weren't going to ever walk again, and here they are walking. You know, something in my past, all the things that I have been through, have gotten me to a place that I truly appreciate life, and I truly appreciate and want to show that there is good among us. And so that's where I am, and that's where God has me.
Look, you have more than a dose of hope. That's kind of like a bucket. I don't know if you want to rebrand. Do you want to rebrand a bucket of hope? Is that going to be a good thing? Because that's way more than just a little dose. I'm telling you, and I did catch some of those episodes that you mentioned about, I believe it was Tawana Williams, and listening to her.
Yes.
And again, and here's the thing. We all in the pandemic have had something happen to us. All of us are going through trauma, right? I've called this honestly like a global trauma. Like we're all going through it, and we're all going through the stages of grief, trying to get over what happened in 2020. But it's the people that kept a positive mindset that seemed like they either had a cover of God's protection over it, or they expanded and grew. And I feel like that's what seems like it happened with you, is that you actually moved forward through the adversity. The positivity came through the adversity. And all of a sudden, here you are again, looking at bringing more hope to people on bigger stages, but still being hope, being yourself. I'm telling you, like, we could talk about this all day long. I love this conversation. But I'm going to close it up with one thing, though. I do want to kind of always try to draw, you know, a line between where you were and where you are now.
Okay.
So here's the question I like to ask. It's not a big weighty one. I'm not trying to drop a big anvil on you at the end, okay?
Okay.
But if you could talk to yourself, let's put you right back there at, I don't know, let's say you were about 20 or 20. How old were you when you first started listening to that gospel? Started to make the shift?
Oh God, I don't even know.
So you said around 2000 though. I remember you said it was around 2000.
21, 22.
21. Okay. So could you, if you were to go back to talk to that 21 year old and tell her something that you wish you had heard or needed to hear, and think about it, there's somebody else that's right now in the same place where you were, right? There's someone else that's 21 who's been singing, who's in talent shows. They're getting on TikTok, right? They're getting on SoundCloud. They're like, I'm going to be the next Aaliyah, right? They're going to be the next her. You know what I mean? They're aiming high. They think that, you know, that's their industry, but something is getting ready to happen. So what would you tell that person that is now where you were?
I would tell them to enjoy the journey. Please enjoy the journey. I have done some amazing things, y'all. I have been out there on main stages. I can't even think of anything that I have not done. I truly cannot. I mean, I done did it all, from the high to the low. And I feel like I didn't enjoy it because I stayed so stuck on what people didn't approve of.
Wow.
I stayed so stuck on what, you know, people didn't like. I could have been on a high today. I mean, like, I think it's David in the Bible. He could go on a whole, you know, victory march. I won. I did it. Hey. And the next 10 minutes, they playing music because he out on the floor crying. Like, that was me.
Yeah.
I used to look for Bible, like this cat, this personality got to be somewhere in this Bible. But that was me. And I never could celebrate my moment because I was too stuck in the negative. And so I'm going to tell you, that's my thing. I tell people all the time, enjoy your journey, please. If something great is happening, celebrate that thing. You know, be happy. You did a show last night. Great. It's a lot of people ain't doing no shows. Matter of fact, it's people that can't sing. It's people that ain't got no feet. It's people that don't have no arms. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Celebrate that thing. If God allowed you to do it, do it. Because guess what? You got the mic, baby. You better make it do what it do.
Look, I'm ready to go run and do something. I don't know what. I just felt like running around my desk and say, I'm going to go do some, I don't know, but you are the most, one of the most inspirational people I've ever, again, I'm so blessed that my circle has been filled in this God and Gigs community with people who do inspire me, but I'm going to add you to the top 10 of that list because I am telling you, I cannot tell you how much a blessing it is, again, to hear from a fellow artist who has gone through it all and still has a smile on their face. And that's really honestly, if I can tell you the key about this whole thing and why I believe this community attracted you and why we found each other and why God, there's no coincidences in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's because I really do believe that, you know, number one, the steps are a good manner ordered by the Lord, right? So steps are ordered. And then number two, I really do believe that we are supposed to live an abundant life as artists, and we don't have to divide it between, oh, either I'm going to be, like you said, David, that starving, oh, the world is horrible, I got to push, I got to shove, and then I'm going to lose it all, and I'm going to be one of those people who, you know, unfortunately take their own life or have a horrible life and end up on Behind the Music because we assume that's like the tortured soul of an artist. And then there's, you know, there's the people who give up before they ever even try. I'm so glad you're an example of someone that came out on the other side and has that abundant life, that spirit, didn't have to sacrifice your faith, didn't have to give up, you know, everything that you believe, but push through and, you know, walking in healing, walking in abundance, walking in favor. You know what? Again, we're just going to have you back on. Can you do that? Can you promise me? That's the one thing I will make you promise is that you will be back on the show or in our God and Gigs community spreading some more hope like you just did, because we need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you, God is just good. God is just so, so good. I mean, everything that we go through is for our later. You get what I'm saying? It's 4 hours later.
Yep.
So, you know, whatever you out there, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, learn your lessons through it. That's the only way it stops. Learn your lessons and keep on pushing because it's for you later. When I'm telling you, when I first started doing a Dose of Hope Radio, I would sit there and cry because I was so fulfilled through it. I never had it in my mind to do, you know, it was like God just led me right to it. But guess what? It wasn't new to me. Because everything I had been doing had paved the way for it. Everything in my life has paved the way for this moment in my life right now. And people hit me all over the place. Oh my gosh, you with Pharrell, you on Netflix, you blowing up, you this, you that. And I'm looking at them like, it's the same thing I've been doing.
Same thing
I've been doing.
Same hope. Amen to that.
Tell
them how to find you since, you know, now that you have something to share. I know some people are still old school. We're going to put the link so that they can click on it, but some people still like to write things down. So tell them how they can find you on all the socials and how they can continue to be inspired by you.
You can find me at adoseofhope.org. That's simple. Adoseofhope.org.
Keep it simple. That's right. Mm-hmm.
All my social media is there. Everything. A Dose of Hope Radio is how you can find the radio show on Facebook. It's on IG, Twitter, A Dose of Hope Radio.
Beautiful. And yes, remember, I didn't hear the promise, but I'll do the pinky promise or whatever that you're going to be back on the show.
I'll be back.
Yeah, there we go. You can't see it, everybody that's not watching, but yes, we just did the pinky promise. Okay. Thank you so much, Hope. I appreciate you so much. And I can't wait to talk to you again. You have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Well, my friend, I am confident that you were inspired by that. I don't think anyone can listen to a story, a person like Hope, and not leave feeling lighter, feeling inspired, feeling encouraged, thinking and realizing that you can do way more with the knowledge and with the gifting that God has put in you, because you can overcome any obstacle that comes in your way, whether that comes in a health challenge or from an industry or the creative life. You have the capacity to overcome it and to really embrace the freedom of being yourself, being authentically who God made you to be as an artist, and never getting stuck in the box. Thank you so much, Hope, for sharing that testimony, sharing your platform with us. We're going to continue to support you and follow you and take advantage of all the resources that you're sharing. Thank you personally for letting me be on your show. I'm not sure if that's aired or not, but definitely check that out, because I was able to share with Hope as well on A Dose of Hope Radio. And that's just how that partnership has already developed. She is definitely someone that we'll have back and will continue to partner with as we try to inspire creatives to live better lives and to enjoy the creative gift God has given them. Well, that's it for today, my friend. So until next time, continue to become the creative you were created to be. Continue to be inspired, encouraged, and keep shining your light in the way that God gave it to you through your creative gift. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us here at the God and Gigs Show. Please leave us a review on iTunes, like our Facebook page, or visit godandgigs.com and tell us what you thought of this show. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, go create something amazing.